Hello and welcome to the We Can't Dunk podcast, coming live from the Duke Saloon in BEA beautiful Victoria, British Columbia. I'm your host, Chris Aldridge, and I'm here with my boy, Money Good and Wood.
Yes, sir. We got a hot one here tonight. Hey, it's hot and smoky here.
It is very smoky. We'll get to that in just a minute. I would like to wish you an early birthday and 1 hour and 55 minutes. Ooh. Lee Henwood will be 30 years of age.
Happy birthday to you,
Mr. President.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dusty Fox. Happy birthday to you.
You know, what I really appreciate about you guys is that you did the whole song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't just do the first line. You did the whole song.
I don't like the cop out. I don't like the cop out.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're the first people to wish me happy birthday, actually, so thank you.
It's fucking welcome.
It's a very, very Caucasian thing to see that song all the way through.
It is.
It sure
and
is.
Many more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're all looking around the room like,
especially if you hit him with the end, many more.
Yeah. And then the guy having happy birthday sung to him, he just wants to get out of the room and he hits
so
him.
Fast.
Oh, just going to sneak by you there.
Oh, sorry. Just going to sneak past you to the washroom.
Oh, dear. Also, I'm here with Ivy, the French bulldog.
Yeah, we got a special guest here. I brought my French bulldog in.
She doesn't have a lot to say.
And she can't talk.
She does not bark on command.
She looks pretty pissed off she's here. I'm not going to lie.
Can we hear her breathe into the microphone?
No.
Is that possible?
No, she's just...
She's more of a snorter than anything.
Yeah, she's... quite antisocial.
Also, well, I'm here with Ryan. I wear sweaters in August, Brady.
Yeah, I'm way too hot.
And jeans and closed-toed shoes.
Yeah. And we just sit here in t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah. And a heavy jacket that I used to wear on the rigs in minus 40.
Yeah, there's a jacket sitting on the counter. Why did you even bring that?
It's inlined with fleece and fucking thermal protection.
Perfect.
It's 98 degrees in here.
I will defend Ryan because we do have some forest fires going on in pretty much all of British Columbia.
Yeah,
and for those of you who are not familiar, it's bigger than California.
Yep.
And it's on fire.
Yep.
So it's very smoky. So early in the morning, when you leave the house, it appears cold.
Well, we do live in a rainforest.
That
so
we do.
The stupid folk mistake the smoke for fog. So you go, it's a cold sumbitch out. I better boot up. The weirdest thing, though, is that I changed into that attire around 6:30 after sweating all day.
On purpose.
Yeah, so there's something really sideways.
I wasn't aware about that.
Yeah.
Wasn't
do you know
aware
what, what insult has been lost in our generation?
What's that, Ryan Brady?
Ass fuck.
Ooh.
I prefer ass hat, but hey.
I know, but I can't tell you how many times I'd been sitting, listening to my father on the phone, most likely bitching out the cable company. And when he finally does actually speak to a person, he greets them by going, hey, ass fuck. I
ass
pay $180 a month for this fucking cable service. When I see Goodfellas, I want to have that movie channel. For another $100, could I see Goodfellas, please? Ass fuck.
side note, Goodfellas has been on TV a lot lately, and I just watch it on loop. I don't even give a shit. There's nothing else better on TV.
Yeah.
Do I look like a fucking clown to you?
Oh. Am I here for your amusement?
Yeah.
To add to your earlier point.
What do you want from me? I'm a good shot.
I just looked it up.
Ass fuck?
No, don't do that. Hopping back earlier, this year there has been 1,792 fires in British Columbia where we live.
That's a lot of fucking fires.
1,792 wildfires.
We got too many damn forests anyway.
1,792.
That's a lot.
Okay, we're going to sell the burning parts of our natural land to America so
well,
they'll continue to protect
there's
us.
There's some fresh water in there, though.
Yeah, we want the streams to the east. Nah, you just take the burning brush.
Tonight's episode, we'll be bringing back a classic segment we haven't heard of in quite some time. Ryan, what is that segment?
this was locker room talk.
Nice. Even though I'm not proud of it.
I'm not proud of it.
We will also be covering one fan submitted question because that's all we got today.
Oh, we got two. We got two.
Oh, did we get a second one?
Well, with
the one that we made up for Big Daddy Lee, who is you. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll also, we're celebrating our 2000th play.
Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Woo! So if you subtract what we ourselves have listened to, we've probably got like a good 1,500 other people listening to
this. I've actually only listened to like two episodes.
Well, you listen to it before you post it, so that's the
thing. I do. My stats aren't counted on SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah. My plays are in there, though.
Your plays are definitely... You're actually our number one fan.
Yeah. I got like four burner accounts. I leave it playing at all times.
Ah, perfect. Before we get into basketball, I know this has been a long intro, but did you guys hear about this fucking idiot who stole an Alaskan Airlines commuter plane and was flying it around like a goddamn video game?
This was the greatest news story that I've heard in a very, very long time. It's certainly in my top three ever.
Wow.
It might be
it's
first.
It's funny.
But it is, I think, the only guy or the only story that still takes the cake is Buddy, who wanted to wear the strainer on his head for his ICBC photo as part of his religion.
Isn't he spaghetti something?
Yeah, the Church of the Flying Spaghetti
Church
Monster.
Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
But yeah, I woke up, I forget, I think it might have been Saturday morning or whenever the hell it was, and I see this plane flying around doing donuts and like barrel rolls, and I'm like, it's a big-ass plane.
It's a big-ass plane. 75 seats or something.
I've never seen a plane that size flown like that. And then I read the bottom of the screen. It's Alaska Airlines plane stolen by employee. I was just like, oh, this is brilliant. And then minutes later, they're starting to cut in all the tapes and everything. It was.
I still haven't heard it, so I'm excited.
Lee
heard
hasn't
it
heard
learn
it,
about
so right
this.
Now I'm going to actually play it live.
You got it handy?
I got it handy.
Yeah, oh,
I'm going to play it live. It's a snippet. It's not the whole thing, but it's pretty much the best parts. And Lee, I would like you to react live into your microphone while I play this clip.
I will.
All right. Here we go.
Whoever said we didn't prep episodes? Clearly, all the preps episodes.
Oh, I prep
he has
hard,
the clip.
Buddy.
Taxiways.
All right, here we go.
Roger, 2239, runway 16, strike, clear to land.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this.
This is live from the plane.
I would like to apologize to each and every one of them.
This was locker room talk.
Just a broken guy. Got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now. just, you know.
Squawk 4671.
If you go too much further in that direction, I won't be able to hear you anymore.
All right. Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip thing? I'm going to land it. In a safe kind of manner. I think I'm gonna try to do a barrel roll, and if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night.
I'm just gonna call it a night.
That is one of the all-time fucking quotes ever.
Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip? Is that what he said? Hey, pilot
and then
guy?
He did a backflip.
Wow.
This is an edited version, so like it's cut way down. I watched the whole thing today.
Yeah.
He did a full backflip and then went into barrel rolls.
And then he called it a night? Like,
well,
what?
No, the crazy.
How did it end?
He crashed into an island
and
he exploded.
Did.
And basically, the way they described it is that the pieces of the plane were so small that you wouldn't know it was a plane unless somebody told you.
Yeah.
It's just like that one that crashed into the Pentagon on the September 11th.
Yeah, pretty sure that was a rocket, but
9/11 was an inside job, folks.
We're safe on this side of the border, right?
He seemed so calm.
Yeah.
Like he was just
No, honestly, like,
so he called it a night at the end of it. He called it a night.
Forever.
Just crashed her in there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, but it was pretty crazy. Like I was watching the whole thing live or like moments after it happened. And it was crazy. Like these two F-15 fighter jets take off like 150 miles away, just go full afterburners. And, like, minutes later, they're behind this guy flying next to him. and like they're doing like hand signals to try to get his attention to jump on the radio with them. Then like they're having these conversations back and forth. One of the guy goes, "Where'd you learn how to fly like that?" He goes, "Video games."
Was that like Grand Theft Auto, or he must have been on some like flight
he does,
simulator
3D
shit.
He works at the airport as well, so he did have some knowledge because he was talking about burnage usage of his fuel and stuff. Like, he's educated as far as stealing a plane
that
and
is
learning
crazy.
It from video games.
And yeah. it's crazy. Wild. It's crazy also to think that that happened just like 100 miles southwest 50. Or southeast 50. Of us. Yeah, 50 miles away.
Well, I mean, they just
and he was flying northwest, so he
we almost
could have
seen
far.
It.
Well, yeah. They've just got to, you know, just be so grateful that the guy wasn't out there with an intent to hurt anybody other than himself.
He was pretty he was pretty open about the fact that he didn't want to hurt anybody.
No, and that's the thing.
Well,
like,
good on him.
Like, yeah. For me, like, I, you know, it was that was kind of like the sad part about it, where you could tell the guy just had his own shit going on, had a good soul, truly didn't want to involve anybody else outside of, hey, sorry about stealing your fucking airliner.
He's like, he also said, if I land this thing, I'm pretty much going to go to jail for life, right? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it was actually crazy because the one thing that everybody was really tracking and following was how close he was getting to land and if it appeared like he was going into any densely, highly populated areas. And at that point, if they felt that he was getting too close to shore, they were going to shoot him out of the air.
Oh, yeah.
So that was
like,
that was the
just like a video game, really.
Yeah, that was the suspense where he's got these two F-15s flying next to him. He's doing fucking barrel rolls and backflips and like dive bombing into the ocean, then pulling back. Like,
dude, you see that one backflip he did where he just barely pulled back up in time?
It was some impressive flying.
That is crazy. The nuts on this broken man.
But hey, like, I mean, there's a lot of people, sadly, who are messed up and, you know, take their own lives or whatever may have you, but this dude like went out with a fucking bang.
Like,
an all-star.
If I
like,
was ever gonna go out because I was, you know, I was tapped.
Yeah,
that's a pretty fucking good way to go.
Well,
none of us could actually pull it off. Like, how could any of us ever get into a plane?
We'd have to do the long game.
Yeah,
we'd have to go get a job at Alaska Airlines, get promoted to being on the tarmac, and then steal the plane.
That's a long-term commitment, but I mean. RIP/kudos to that guy.
Yeah, sure. High
fives all around in the afterlife, bro.
Yeah.
Absolute beauty, top shelf lad.
Yeah.
Love it.
I would have him on the show, but
his last words were, "Saturdays are for the boys." Yeah, anyways.
All jokes aside, rest in peace. Let's talk about basketball.
I was just going to say, we do basketball, right?
Yeah.
Let's get into
it. Yeah, let's talk some basketball.
Love to. First off, we're going to discuss some first-time All-Stars. Who we think might get their first All-Star appearance this season. I'll go first, because you were both one's pouring some Fentimans ginger beer.
We're mixing some
and the other guy's
here.
Whipping out the phone because he's too excited about barrel rolls.
Yeah, barrel roll.
I personally think with the dilapidated Eastern Conference, Kristaps Porzingis coming back from a knee injury, probably late December, early January, is still going to be able to pull off an appearance in the All-Star game. A, because there's only like four All-Stars in the East. And B, that kid is a stud. All those things he was doing before he got injured were quite impressive. And now he doesn't have Carmelo Anthony hanging out with him, so he's going to get even more touches and be more effective and more highlights. So that's my pick for our first-time All-Star.
You know, I will say, to add to your case, when I quickly just Googled Porzingis injury because I was curious about the status of his recovery to
see if he
could put enough time in the season to make an All-Star team. And the first thing that came up was a YouTube video, and it's Kristaps Porzingis injury update, all caps, hot chicks and cannonballs, and it just shows him like jumping off of a boat in the ocean with a bunch of hot chicks.
So he's doing good. He is good.
So I'm kind of mad that I didn't pick him as my first time All Star because I think that is a good choice.
It's a great choice. It's almost a sure thing.
I'm proud of you.
What do we got out East? Kawhi, Kyrie, Gordon Hayward? That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but
well, Joel, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, still Boston is scary, scary. But I mean, like, it's a team. Kristaps is gonna get busy. He's gonna do his thing.
Oh yeah.
I hope he comes back and he regains his form because he was looking like
he was the unicorn.
He was looking
man.
Like
he's the unicorn.
Oh shit! This is the future here.
Yeah, he's good for the NBA to have because he's.
Imagine if Kyrie and Jimmy Butler do stay true to their word, or at least the rumor mill word, and end up in New York with Kristaps. That is
a dirty triangle.
I jump
right
for joy.
There.
I jump for joy. I've long advocated for the relevance of Knicks basketball.
I will vouch for you for that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Hashtag Bronta Apple. But
you still think LeBron's going to New York before the beginning of the season, don't
20,
you?
23.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
No, the Lakers are trading him. They're trading him.
Lonzo Ball's not going to make it to midseason. He's gone. On an unrelated note.
Lee, please tell me who your choice for first time All-Star would be.
I will. Ryan, did you make a choice?
No, I haven't yet.
You're up next.
Oh,
babe.
I'll just go. So
you're going too.
Don't take
my
mine,
choice of a first time All-Star.
He's the anchor over there.
Although,
bro.
I'll give an honorable mention to Ben Simmons because I do think he'll probably make the All-Star team for the first time. But
going into his third season,
yes,
very
more surprising
to see what he
pick
does in his sophomore year.
My more surprising pick for a first-time All-Star, coming out of the West, Drew Holiday.
Oh my God.
Say let me tell you so. Why.
I'm going to need a lot of facts to back that
okay.
one up. I'm all ears.
So the first reason is because I actually see the Pelicans coming up this next season. I mean, they looked good last season. They swept the Trailblazers in that first round, and so they lost to Marcus Cousins. But I think that for that organization, losing Cousins is
I'm sorry, Lee. I love you. I got to cut you off, though.
Why?
He's already been an All-Star.
Who?
Oh.
Drew has?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Big Daddy Lee.
Oh,
credibility out the window.
When was he an All-Star?
I'm gonna let you finish.
When was he an All-Star?
Philly, I believe.
Let me
really?
Fact check
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think Philly.
So now, Ryan, this
I
hasn't happened in a very long time.
Yeah.
Are we putting out open auditions to fill the third spot
well,
on the Weekend
Dunk
podcast?
Like,
still no.
He was it was with such enthusiasm, and I still want to hear the rest of his point, but I'm very confident that Drew Holiday was an All-Star when he was – I think he was with Philly.
Oh, so you're just saying it. You don't know for sure.
Yeah. Just testing if this old
you know, I'm scrolling through –
NBA All-Star 2013.
No, 2013. You're right.
Okay.
So –
do you have another choice?
Anyhow,
all
I do
jokes,
have, well,
all jokes
no,
aside,
my
though,
other,
can you finish that?
I'll finish it by saying Drew Holiday last year averaged 19 points, 6 assists, and 4.5 rebounds. For contrast, Kyle Lowry, who has made the All-Star team for the last 4 years
Lee.
In a row.
You're not helping him right now.
Who?
Dumpster fire.
Well, he's better than Kyle Lowry.
Well, no, I'm just saying Kyle Lowry has
so
made the
Ivy.
All-Star team. Kyle Lowry made the All-Star
yeah.
team this last year,
yeah.
and he averaged 16, 6.9,
yeah.
and 5 rebounds. So my general thinking was that the Pelicans are going to actually start to look like a real basketball team. Holiday is going to shine, and he'll get another All-Star selection. But – I'll go back to, in that case, my original selection. You're holding a knife, which is weird.
I don't know where I got it from.
You're holding a knife. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
But Ben Simmons is going to – Ben Simmons will be a first-time All-Star.
Valid.
For sure.
I think he's actually going to cut your microphone cable.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Why Ben Simmons?
Thanks for fact-checking me during the episode instead of before when I could have adjusted. I really appreciate that.
I didn't think you were taking Drew Holiday.
I told
he
you
did,
I was.
He did say it, but Ryan was very deep in a game.
Remember
on
I said
his
I
phone?
Was playing Clash Royale?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't paying attention.
Ben Simmons, good pick.
Yeah.
Love Drew Holiday.
Bad pick, obviously.
Well, no, a good pick for him to get back. I mean, fuck, he's only been there once. It'll be 5 years now, so that'd be a little outside of the box. I'd like to see him get back there.
Yeah, man.
I think this is a blatantly obvious pick. Devin Booker down there in Phoenix. Like, he kind of remains the NBA's best-kept secret.
Yeah.
He is the real deal. Like, he's absolutely nasty. I don't know if he actually did get to the 25-point-per-game mark, Hang on, I got a stat. Yeah, he did 24.9 and 5-5 last year.
So he's there.
So he did 25-5-5. And he shifted to point guard late in the season, which just absolutely skyrocketed his usage. And all indications point that he's still going to be the primary ball handler there.
And now he's going to have help.
Yeah.
Most help.
You've got another year of Josh Jackson. You've got TJ Warren, who's just like was just a fantasy gem for anybody who drafted him in the 72nd round. and then they've got this DeAndre Ayton kid, who, again, I'm going out and I think he's David Robinson. I think he's Sean Kemp. I think he's a hybrid of both. I think he's going to absolutely rip this league to shreds. And the next kind of small, big, dominant duo, I think it's going to be Booker and Ayton. I think they're going to do huge things down there. Those numbers already were all-star numbers. So, you know, just another year, more exposure, a little more time on national TV.
A little support.
Now,
little support.
You're going to have some wins with Ayton.
More
there,
wins.
Right?
Devin Booker
it's
will
hard.
Make an all-star.
It's hard to be an all-star when you got no wins at the all-star
it
break.
Is.
Speaking
it is.
Of DeAndre Ayton, I saw a quote from him that he wants to become the first rookie to make the all-star team. Do you think that's possible in any way, shape, or form?
Has a rookie never made the all-star?
That the quote that I saw was that he wants to be the first rookie to make the all-star team. So I didn't look at it, but that's what his quote was. Yeah.
Well,
is that possible?
Well, like, we just got to – they have gone away from being locked into positions, but they still do try to maintain it to some capacity.
Yeah, you're going to get a couple centers.
But let's
for
just
sure.
count it out, right? You've got Karl-Anthony Towns. You've got Anthony Davis. You've got – I guess you're kind of considering Kevin Durant, LeBron James. All those guys are kind of in the forward center category in an all-star game.
Yeah.
Well, would you agree
with
that?
Still, no, like they're still going to take at least two actual centers, I think.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but if you're saying Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis, I could see them even still taking one more center.
I don't know if he'll actually make an all-star game, but I like him for 20 and 10.
If you're doing 20 and 10 as a rookie, like
I like him for 20 and 10.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He'd be the first guy since Blake to do that.
So, just to clarify on the whole, first rookie ever, looks like there's been 40-plus.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's not the first
maybe
one.
Maybe to start, but, like, just for the first few names I see here, we got Bob Cousy, Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Wilt Bellamy, Willis
this
Reed,
is all 60s
Rick
blood.
Barry, Elvin Hayes, Kareem.
70s.
Who's the most recent?
The most recent?
Yeah, that's
Blake Griffin, Yao Ming, Tim Duncan, Grant Hill, Shaquille O'Neal, Dikembe Mutombo, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing.
So yeah, was the first.
So he's not the first at
Michael
all.
Michael Jordan, Ralph Sampson. Anyway, it keeps going.
Yeah,
there's
so I brought up
but,
20 and 10, Blake Griffin. Yeah. He'd be the first guy to do that. Blake Griffin sounds like the last rookie to make the All-Star.
22.8 and 12.6.
He did that as a rookie?
But Shaquille O'Neal did 24 and 14.
Yeah, Shaq Diesel.
Dikembe did
and
19
Shaq,
and 13.
And Shaq was a true rookie.
David Robinson, 23 and 11. Anyway, lots of guys have done crazy numbers.
Actually, I don't know. This is a genuine question. I'm not trolling. Is Ben Simmons a rookie next year?
He is.
Okay. Yeah, he's actually he the is. Odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year.
Until 2021,
yeah.
He's a rookie.
I like him. I like him for Rookie of the Year this
That's
year.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
And MVP and first-team
yeah.
All-NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll be first-team All-Rookie.
Good troll.
Donovan Mitchell wasn't on that award, so.
Kind of messed up.
I don't know what you want me to say.
It's all messed up. I don't even want to get into that.
Excited about the young talent in the league, though. We
it's
just
great.
We
next
just,
year and the year after and the year after, it's looking good.
We dropped some serious names right there.
I might actually like the NBA in
yeah.
a few years.
Oh, there's so much reason for optimism. We've been talking about this kind of at length.
Since we started.
When you
the Celtics are good. The Lakers are going to be good.
When you start
the Knicks might be good.
When you start going down the lists of the talent under 25 years old, and if you even want to go a step further, under 27 years old, like, it is absolutely unbelievable. Like, Giannis is 23.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
So right? He's still going to be under 27 for four more years.
That's what I mean.
Wow,
him in
good
4
math.
Years is going to be mental.
Right.
He'll probably be able to shoot threes by then.
Well, that's the thing is, will he add fluidity to his shot and will he start stroking the three? Because if he starts hitting a pull-up, just shut the league off.
I hope he takes the Kobe Bryant approach and every offseason he works on one piece of his game wholeheartedly the entire time.
Yeah.
And the next offseason does it again. Does it again. By the time that guy's 30, he's better than LeBron James.
Well, dude, if you look at how LeBron has been like last year dominated with his like his outside post fadeaways and stuff, imagine if Giannis was doing that.
No one
could block one of his fadeaways from anywhere.
Right now, LeBron can't operate on the low block the way Giannis can. Like just purely around the rim. Giannis,
oh, yeah,
because
he's got great footwork and
yeah,
his
Giannis
arms
is more
are 12
dominant.
Feet long.
He was pretty much primarily playing in the front court and right around the rim. Like he approaches the game like a big, except he can face you up at the
free
throw
line.
Dude,
when he takes those two steps from the wing and he cuts through the D and throws down, it is borderline terrifying.
I don't know if you'll ever see a build like Giannis or a skill set like Giannis again. I'm not saying he'll be the greatest ever. He certainly has that type of upside, but like he makes LeBron James look small, and that's a pretty impressive feat. That's a tall task.
Yeah, like we said last episode, as long as he gets out of Milwaukee,
that's the key.
He does need out.
Whenever because he actually has a great personality, like you know, high energy.
He's like charming.
Yeah,
and
you know, he's
charismatic. I don't really speak English that well, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at you, kid.
Uh-huh. He checks all the buttons. Just get him out of Milwaukee.
Like I saw him on Instagram. Somebody asked him on a live video, do you play Fortnite? And he says, no, but I do foreplay at night.
See?
That's some good stuff.
You just got a fan right here, Giannis. Yeah. Nice work.
It's a good
the
lad.
The big Taziki.
Yeah.
We gotta keep Opa. Mentioning that.
Yeah,
Opa.
Anyway,
next segment. The shortest version of In Our Bag in WCD history.
That's what happens when we don't record for weeks on
end. 2.5 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sunfest.
Yeah,
thanks,
real nice.
FUCF.
How was that,
basketball
anyways?
Tournament.
We just completely
yeah.
Disregarded that.
For those of you who don't know what Sunfest is, it's a country music festival here on Vancouver Island, and it's a bunch
no
of rednecks getting drunk, doing dumb shit. Went really well. Super busy. Hardest I've had to work since I was probably a busser in a nightclub 10 years ago. But it was a good time.
How many beers did you sell that weekend?
Out of our bar alone?
Yeah.
6,000 or 7,000 easy.
It's a lot of
probably
beers.
Probably closer to 10. I have no idea. It's all a whirlwind.
Quit being modest.
Yeah.
It's probably just 6,000.
Just
or
for
something.
The record.
22, whatever.
The crossover of people who know what Sunfest is and who listen to this podcast is
zero.
Absolute zero.
Well, that's a lie. It's probably like 3.
I actually,
and that's just out of coincidence. It's not that they like go to Sunfest,
right?
I didn't know what Sunfest is until you described it to me now. So yeah.
Perfect. Rednecks doing redneck shit. Listen to country music.
Doing redneck
and
shit.
A giant dust bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
sounds
still,
about right.
I'm still getting dust out of my taint.
Wow.
At Ryan S reports. At Ryan S reports on Instagram, he asked, "Who will be the second leading scorer on the Lakers this season?" I'm pretty sure he's implying that LeBron will be the first leading scorer.
Yes.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Safe assumption, eh? All right.
I think so.
Who do you think?
I'll take Brandon Ingram
I knew
for
you were
500,
take
Bob.
I knew you were going to take Ingram.
I mean, Alec Trebek.
It's all wrong.
Yeah.
Ryan, who do you think?
Well, I mean, if we're giving that simple of an answer, Kyle Kuzma.
I also think Kyle Kuzma.
Well, see, that's the thing. Kuzma was obviously, I think that's the debate, is between Ingram and Kuzma.
I just
so how do you explain Kuzma getting more buckets than Ingram next year?
I always elect to take the off-ball shooter or the better catch-and-shoot shooter that's playing with LeBron James. Mm. I think athletically he's kind of right there with Brandon Ingram. I don't know. I think Kyle Kuzma is going to be very, very dangerous next to LeBron James, and he needs the ball less than Brandon Ingram does. Brandon Ingram would lead the team in scoring if he is off the court or he's on the court when LeBron is off the court. Like if they're running it in such a way where LeBron James is on the court, he runs the whole offense. Obviously, Brandon Ingram will get minutes with him. But then when LeBron's off the court, everything goes through Ingram. Mm. Then I could see in that scenario, if Ingram gets to break it down in the half court and literally be the primary offense outside LeBron, okay. But if Ingram, LeBron, and Kuzma are all in the court and they're kind of doing the positionless basketball, I like Kuzma's ability to move without the rock and get open for that catch-and-shoot jumper from LeBron. I just think Kuzma can create his shot without the ball better than Brandon Ingram can, and that's the difference, is because I think athletically they're very similar.
I think it's a lot more for Kuzma is his attitude and his approach to the game. Brandon Ingram seems a little more docile and laid back and easygoing, whereas Kuzma's like, I want that rock. I want to rebound it. I want to dunk on your face. I want to get my buckets.
He's definitely more alpha.
For sure. And that's why I think he's going to score more.
Yeah, I think he'll step up and demand the ball a little bit. But Brandon Ingram's talent is undeniable.
Well, and wait till you see what kind of effect LeBron has just by being his teammate on Ingram. I think you're going to see Ingram.
The same could be
Ingram's
said for Kuzma.
It's true, but Ingram, in my opinion, he's a guy, he has like this crazy long body and he's fast and he's athletic even though he's tall, but like LeBron could be that sort of like
bridge of the gap.
Well, that like sort of spark plug that like activates something in him to start being like the man and maybe teach him a couple things that lets him take his game to the next level, because everybody, like, obviously the Lakers didn't want to trade him. They think he's got all-star potential. He just needs some kind of event to push him to the next level, and, like, playing with LeBron could be that event, and he might just go absolutely bananas this year.
Do the Lakers need to get rid of a player to acquire Kawhi Leonard next season? Just out of contract and salary cap?
Well, I mean, you're seeing kind of a similar dilemma in Boston developing, where with Gordon Hayward coming back, there's going to end up with an odd man out of Hayward, Tatum, and Brown, and it's likely going to end up with Jaylen Brown probably coming off the bench and being the sixth man, and how willing he is to accept that role is tough to say, and especially if you're Boston, you want to kind of tread lightly, because Gordon Hayward's great. We love Gordon Hayward. We're all huge fans of him. We want him to come back and be the haircut again. But
Haircut.
Jaylen Brown is 21 years old, right?
Like, I think
he's
that you're
21 years old, and I think you're going to see the similar. You may see a similar thing develop there. Although it's.
I think you're missing where I was going with this statement.
Okay,
I was thinking that with this team that they currently have and everybody under contract, their salary cap is going to be too high at this point to acquire Kawhi in the offseason.
Well, no.
Do you think that they trade Brandon Ingram or Kyle Kuzma to get Kawhi before the trade deadline from Toronto?
Well, I don't think they have to. It's like all these guys, these one-year guys that they signed are all going to fall off the books. Okay. Like
there's a ton of money coming off the books for the Lakers next year. And what needs to be remembered is Kuzma and Ingram are on rookie deals.
Yeah, they're like, still nothing.
They don't cost a lot of money right now.
And they get the bird rights.
And they get the bird rights, and again, they're restricted free agents, right? Like, you got to remember, in the NBA, the infrastructure is designed in such a way that franchises get to retain their star players, you know, for ideally 7 to 8 years, right? Like, the idea is you get them for their entire
to try
prime.
And make a career guy out of your draft
picks. Exactly. So the Lakers are in an outstanding position. They understand that this year is a write-off. This year is about developing their young talent, seeing if Lonzo Ball fits into the equation at all.
Does he?
No, in my opinion.
I already knew the answer. I just liked hearing you say it.
I've been very vocal about that. I don't think LeBron has any interest in that circus and that sideshow. And, I mean, you saw it last year. Magic, Walton, Pelinka, whoever was kind of the guy spearheading the operation. I imagine it was a bit of a collective effort. But LeVar Ball was, like, banned and restricted in a ton of areas very quickly. And that was before LeBron James showed up and put on Lakers colors. So if there's going to be any distractions and any sideshow circus fucking things going on, I think they're just going to trade him and they're not going to put up with it. I don't think they're interested. So, but this year's a write-off. Like, the Warriors, nobody's messing with them. The team is so stupid. They're not even done building it.
Boogie Cousins comes back after they're already the first seed in the West at the end of the season.
Yeah, this year is about LeBron James getting another MVP award, reminding everybody he's far and away the best on the planet, developing the young talent.
Exactly.
That's what it's about. Getting the young talent in playoff basketball and understanding what the first, the second, and maybe the third round looks like. And then they start plugging in all the studs with all the dough they got to spend.
If they do trade Lonzo, does Kawhi become a point guard who's an off-the-ball point guard and LeBron runs the offense?
No, I don't foresee that. I think Kawhi will fit into that team. Yeah, I mean, it's like we talk about Boston doing the positionless route. If the team actually ends up with LeBron, Ingram, Kuzma, and Leonard on their roster, like,
put them wherever the hell you want.
That's going to be like, a weird one, right? Like, that team's going to absolutely beat the brakes off people.
Athleticism for
days.
That's
what I mean. And in that scenario, Lonzo Ball isn't shooting five times a game. All he's doing is passing the rock. So if he's if you're putting him in a position to succeed, and we've talked about this, all of us, Lonzo's not supposed to be shooting 10 times a game. He's not certainly not supposed to be hoisting 10 threes a game.
No.
Maybe one three.
Right.
Maybe a heat check.
So if you've got this 6'5", 6'6", ultra, I shouldn't say ultra, but deceptively athletic Lonzo Ball with those four other guys on the court around him, that's probably the vision that Magic has. And he's going, that could get a little silly. So
it could get very silly.
With that being said, I'm kind of counting on them cutting the Lonzo Ball experiment short.
Cutting the fat.
I like them to go get Kemba Walker. Like I say, nasty with Lonzo Ball. Put Kemba Walker there instead of Lonzo Ball.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's not out of the realm of possibility. That really isn't. Plus, not with Kuzma and Ingram on rookie deals.
You're getting my hopes up, man.
I know,
stop
me too.
This.
And we already know Kemba looks good in purple. That's a fact.
He looks great.
Great
True.
In purple.
Great.
Our next question is from Big Daddy Lee. Heard that Instagram handle from somewhere before.
Yes, that is my Instagram handle. Yes.
I would love for you to talk about Marcus Camby for a few minutes on your podcast. And that question comes from his desk partner at Jim Pattison Toyota.
Yeah, so
I'll start off.
Yeah.
All right.
Dave, this one's for you.
You're welcome.
Marcus
Dave.
Camby.
Really, it's
here
born
we go.
March 22nd, 1974. Marcus Dion Camby is an American former professional basketball player who played 17 seasons in the NBA. He also won a Defensive Player of the Year award during 2006-2007 NBA season, leading the league in block shots per game. He was also drafted first overall?
I think it was a second pick.
Overall by our fucking loved Toronto Raptors.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my 6 Kyle Lowry jerseys coming.
Weird,
next
me too.
Week.
I got 2 alternates, one of every color.
Yeah,
that's great. What would you guys like to add about Marcus Camby?
Well, Lee's been dying for the opportunity to go on a Marcus Camby tribute. So please, my friend, take the floor.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the fact that he recorded 3.7 blocks per game in his second year in the NBA is absolutely crazy. I think so. That was in 1997-98. And since then, only one guy has recorded more blocks per game than that. So that alone, to me, is pretty impressive. Obviously, having the nickname.
Who is that player?
I think it was, I was looking it up earlier. I think it was Alonzo Mourning, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the year after Camby did 3.7,
so
Mourning, they had a crossover. Like,
it feels like Alonzo Mourning was so much further before Marcus Camby.
It's because you saw him on the early Charlotte teams.
Yeah. But, like, he was actually so relevant in those Miami days for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was the NBA was crazy for blocks. Like, starting in 1989 to 90, it was Olajuwon, Olajuwon, David Robinson, Olajuwon, Mutombo, 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 Sean Bradley. And then
Sean Bradley.
The
whitest player in NBA history.
Co-star of Space Jam. But so Sean Bradley put up 3.4 blocks per game. Then Camby in his second season did 3.7. Then the next season, Alonzo Mourning came out and did 3.9. And since then, well, Theo Ratliff did 3.7 in 2000.
Theo Ratliff. Was he with Atlanta when he did that?
No, that was Philly.
Philly.
Yeah, and then he did 3.6 in Atlanta two years later. But, yeah, since then, nobody's recorded more blocks. So, I mean, that's impressive. The other thing that was really interesting to me, and I don't know if you guys remember this, about when I was just researching a little bit about Marcus Camby, but April 2001, shortly, just a couple years after recording those 3.7 blocks, his mother and two sisters were taken hostage by a deranged Hartford resident. This was a man who had served
in Connecticut?
Yeah.
The land of maple syrup?
Yeah. Oh. He served 18 years in prison for his crimes, and it turned out that he was like an ex-boyfriend of Marcus Camby's wife. And while the Knicks were going into the first game of the playoffs, he broke into Marcus Camby's house and held his daughter and wife at knife point for like 6 hours until the cops came. And like Marcus Camby had to roll up and like stand in the window, and the guy wanted to talk to him and all this stuff. And then he had to go play a playoff basketball game the next day. Like how fucked
hashtag
is that?
Hashtag dear basketball.
Yeah.
Lee, I hate to do this to you, but the second error of the episode.
Yeah.
Hassan Whiteside had 3.68 blocks per game in 15-16. And Serge Ibaka in 11-12 had 3.65.
Yeah, I was talking about guys who had 3.7 or higher.
Well, it has him at 3.61.
Marcus Camby?
Yeah.
See, like, you just can't trust what you find on the internet these days. And that's the real problem that I would like to shine light on.
Nobody knows.
Because when I'm on basketballreference.com, which I trust to be, like, you know, the big resource for basketball stats, it says 3.7 for his 1997-98 season.
It's weird because they
but is that wrong?
Have Basketball Reference as their reference.
I'm
here.
Looking at it right now. It says 3.7. It's in bold because it's his career high.
Basketball
I guess they round it up.
Is the be-all, end-all. I side with Lee, 3.7.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay.
Enough pointing out my errors. If you try harder, you'll find more. So just stop looking.
Fake news.
I'll stop looking. Fake news. Do you have any more facts about the great Marcus Camby?
I got to say, imagine 6 hours held at knife point. What's that look like?
Well,
I got
like,
one right now.
Yeah,
feels like listening to Lee talk on a podcast.
Hey.
But Ryan's holding the knife. He's literally holding a knife. Still,
it's still very.
You've been
strange.
Holding it the entire episode so far.
Knife point though, 6 hours.
Yeah,
I feel like he's not holding them at knife point. He has a knife and they're nearby.
Well, the article said when the cops came up that like he had a knife on the throat of Marcus Camby's wife.
Okay, that's a little different.
Sounds pretty knife pointy to me.
Yeah.
But that was the most interesting thing I could find out about Marcus Camby, other than his exceptional ability to block shots
well,
in the NBA.
And Marcus Camby is an absolute gangster.
Yes.
Truth.
Safe to say the guy who held his wife at knife point is probably dead.
Yeah.
Safe to say.
Also, a couple more things I'll throw in there for him. National College Player of the Year, 1996. And
he won an NCAA
UMass.
Championship at UMass.
Really?
Yeah. Did they win a chip that year?
UMass.
I don't know.
They go all the way to the big dance.
Sorry, I'm just into it.
It's hard to say.
No, Final Four. Didn't
okay,
win.
Final Four.
Very depressing. Very depressing.
Yeah,
I'm sorry
so
for your
there
Marcus
we go.
Camby.
We talked about Marcus Camby for a couple minutes.
Hey, Dave. You're welcome,
yeah,
bud.
There you
anytime,
go, Dave.
Anytime, all right?
I don't know why I just thought of this, or why when I think of Marcus Camby, I think of this guy. But you know who would absolutely eat today's league alive, just rip it to shreds, and who would be so exciting to watch?
Damon Stoudemire.
Good guess.
No.
Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace.
Could you imagine Sheed today in today's game if he could just do anything he wanted with no consequences?
It would be kind of crazy.
He was so good and he was so talented. You remember the year that he played in the All-Star game and he decided to shoot threes left-handed and he went 6 for 9?
Yeah, Sheed was cool as hell. He had his own like custom silhouette Air Force Ones with the big straps on the top with his fadeaway.
Yeah.
No, he also had the little gray patch for flavor.
I was going to say, I remember watching him like it was like back when he was on Portland, and this was back when
the Jailblazers.
The TV quality was so poor
that
you could barely tell the players apart while they're running down the court because it's so blurry and like non-HD. But you could always tell Rasheed Wallace because you could see that like bald spot from freaking outer space on the top of his head.
Oh, good stuff.
Oh, man. How sick were the Jailblazers? Who did you have? You had Damon Stoudemire. You had Bonzi Wells.
Yeah.
You had Darius Miles. Was it Ruben Stoudemire?
His name? Patterson, yeah.
Ruben Patterson. You had Rasheed Wallace. Who else was on? They're just so gangster. I think you might have had a rookie Jermaine O'Neal. Man, that team was gangster.
What was the deal? Like, do you remember the stat? Like, they were called the Jailblazers because of how many times their players had been arrested.
Oh, yeah. No, it was gangster.
Well, you had Rasheed Wallace and was it Mark Camby got caught smoking weed?
Oh, maybe that's why I have them forever intertwined.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
But, yeah, Rasheed Wallace.
No, it was him and Damon Stoudemire. That's who was getting high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pulling up this article that's says something about, unfortunately for them, they were driving Damon Stoudemire's banana yellow Hummer H2.
They were.
Getting pulled over for smoking weed on the highway or something like that.
Yeah,
There's a guy that gets forgotten in NBA history just because he's, you know, a little more gimmicky for the technical fouls than he is a basketball player. But one of the all-time great low post defenders, one of the all-time great high block post players, and then could step out and absolutely stroke that three, he would be unbelievable today. He'd be unbelievable today. I love Sheed.
Maybe we'll see him in the big three. Who knows?
Two other guys we forgot about. Zach Randolph as a young player on the Jailblazers.
Shout out to you.
Yeah.
And then I just saw one other one that we missed.
But and it was like they all just got in trouble for Cheeks.
Mo Cheeks was the coach.
Yeah. They all just got in trouble for smoking weed.
Arvidas Sabonis.
Arvidas.
The big boner.
The big boner.
Good times. Is that enough about Marcus Camby?
I think so.
Yeah.
He played on the Nuggets with Melo, too.
Isn't that when he won his Defensive Player of the Year? Wasn't he in Denver?
It's quite possible.
I believe he was,
When he won his dopey?
His dopey.
I just cut my hand open.
So there you go.
Knife.
So moving forward here, we got NCAA rule changes. Going to touch on that quickly.
Let's touch on it very quickly.
Yeah. After an FBI investigation in September that showed several Division I coaches, Rick Pitino, were implicated in recruiting through money and goods bribery, the NCAA wanted to change up some rules to safeguard themselves having to deal with this again. Those changes are any player deemed an elite-level basketball player in high school will be allowed to hire an agent as of July 1st of their senior year, and NCAA players will be allowed to hire representation after their season is ended. These players will be allowed to return to school and play NCAA basketball if they are undrafted or do not sign an NBA contract. I think it is long overdue that they did
monumental.
That. Super monumental.
Monumental. Absolutely massive moment and a complete flaw in the system. Where if a school was willing to have a kid back and continue to provide him a scholarship and an opportunity you know, a second chance to create a spectacular life for himself. You know, now he has that ability to do so. Like, the, you know, if you're, it actually gives a guy a chance to go an education route opposed to an athletic route if he doesn't get drafted. And like I say, just a complete flaw in the system, and it's good to see that they finally changed this. But it was absolutely monumental, and a rumor kind of surfaced that they didn't really tell the NBA anything about it. Like, the NBA was absolutely blindsided by these rule changes, and the NCAA just announced them. Now, obviously, the NCAA is free to do as they please, but normally on something like that, be very transparent.
It is actually currently gone back to the NBA and the NBA Players Union for approval to agree to it, but I don't see them denying that.
That'd
in any
be
way.
Some terrible publicity
terrible,
to deny it.
Especially for a league that's about the people, for the people.
Well, and again, it's the university saying we're willing to have these kids back and essentially restore their scholarship, right? Like, just because they declared for the, you know, the pro ranks and they didn't make it doesn't mean we're going to we
have
to
not
deny
paid.
Them access to our school.
Yeah, so there won't have to be such a big decision of like, I'm leaving to enter the draft. It's like, oh, I'm going to try the draft, and if not, I'll be back.
You're giving an 18-year-old kid options. Like, that's what it should be about. You're giving an 18-year-old kid options to go and see what my stock is if I'm going to get drafted. And even then, now the guy can take the risk, right? Now
it's
the guy,
not a risk anymore.
That's what I mean.
Exactly.
You know, like, now the guy can go there. He can see he's eligible for the draft. He can enter it. Maybe somebody takes a flyer on him. Maybe they don't. I don't know what the only thing that I'm a little confused on is, do they become designated as an undrafted free agent, or are they not part of a free agent pool if they go back?
I think what I read is if they don't sign a contract, then they're able to come back. So it's like, if there's no good contract, whether it's in the lottery or whether it's
as
just a free agent
signing. As long as they don't declare for a team, you're eligible to come back. But there's actually a little subscript to that whole rule change. And it was that the agents are actually allowed to provide meals and clothes to the players and families during that period of time. As long as they disclose it to the NCAA.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, they want to buy the kid a suit for the draft so he doesn't look like a hobo.
Or maybe he'll still look like a hobo, like Trae Young wearing freaking shorts, like an idiot.
Yeah, that's Russell Westbrook's fault, though. It is.
Trae Young
is a train wreck visually.
A train wreck?
Like, he has a homeless 50-year-old haircut. It's
He looks
bad.
Like that kid out of Coach Carter who's selling crack. He does.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what's your greatest fear?
I know what you're talking about.
What's your greatest fear? I mean, I have
our greatest
this
fear
haircut.
Is that we will
That's
not will become
fear.
Inadequate.
Speaking of NCAA.
Cut your hair, Trae Young.
Yeah.
Ryan, do you think that any team in the NCAA this year can even stand up to, let alone beat, the nasty-ass roster that Duke has put together this season?
Very, very quick. Great that the NCAA did this. Now you got to let the high school kids jump to the pros like we used to back in the old days. Get Moses Malones and KGs and Kobe Bryants and LeBrons, and it's just more exciting. With that being said, no.
Resounding no?
Yeah, and I'm the one rarely to jump full on a hype train, especially on the collegiate level where it's such a team-oriented game, because it's rare that a guy just completely takes over in a half-court isolation. Like, you don't see a Kobe Bryant-type scorer very often on the collegiate level where it's like, you know, five-man space out, let him go one-on-one on one side of the court. So you can control the tempo of the game very differently. With that being said, this is not an over-exaggeration, overstep, oversight. Duke has the greatest recruiting class of all time, and it's not close. Never has there been a time that a Division I school has landed the first, the second, and the third-rated prospect in one high school year. And it's not just – or one high school class. It's not just any class. Like, this class is supposed to be the future of the NBA. You got R.J. Barrett, who is hailed as the greatest Canadian prospect of all time. far superior.
I back that. Yeah.
Far superior to Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins was supposed to be Kobe, right? Like, and they're saying just as a prospect, he's far superior than Andrew Wiggins. You've got the high school hype. Zion Williamson, who nobody has had more attention as a high school athlete.
Especially after that dunk.
Well, that's why we're talking about this, is because of that little free throw line dunk video that came up.
Yeah, but then they've also got Cam Reddish, who is truly a 6'9 Paul George. Like, they're clones of each other. All those kids are 17 years old. They're all north of 6'7". They're all north of 240 pounds. Like, these...
filthy.
These guys are different, and not only will they be the 1, 2, and 3 in their 2018 high school class, they might go 1, 2, and 3 in the draft next year.
I can guarantee you that the first time that that's ever happened.
I don't
even need to check it.
I don't think that two guys on the same team have ever gone back to back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's, but with the so with the hype around all those guys, yeah, I could see them all going 1-2-3.
With that being said, I expect Duke to steamroll through the competition and win the championship. And most people have them pegged going undefeated. I think like the NBA with the Warriors, for the first time in a long time, the college game's a write off. Duke's going to run
so
away.
So even
with that
like
title.
Your Kentucky Kittens that you're such a big fan of, you think have no chance against Duke.
They don't have a chance this year. There's nobody messing with Duke, man. Like I said, on paper, this is the best roster that's ever been put together from a recruiting class standpoint.
Heard it here first. Word. Undefeated. And by first, I mean probably like 22nd, but whatever.
Yeah. What about you, Lee? Duke for the title next year?
Well, all I can say is that I got a chance to see RJ Barrett play in person when Team Canada faced off against China here in Victoria.
God, I was out of town.
The
I'm Save so
on
food. Sad.
I said it on another podcast, but I had like straight up courtside like center seats, and I got to watch him. Like, he played a lot of minutes of that game. He probably played like 30 minutes, and like, This is a Team Canada with lots of guys who are over the age of 20, lots of, like, you know, guys who are in the pros. You had Kelly Olynyk was there, and you had
Wiggins?
No, Wiggins wasn't there, but, like, you know, Corey Joseph is on that team, and you have who's the other guy? Cleveland.
Tristan Thompson.
Thompson didn't show up. You had Anthony Bennett, the former number two pick, show up. But what I'm trying to say is you had, like, it was a team of – there were some young guys, but there was NBA players and
grown men.
The China team was trash, so that's not much. But RJ Barrett was like by far the best player on the court, and he dominated and he played defense. He was athletic. He could shoot. He could hit the three. Like, I was very impressed seeing him in person, and it's different watching somebody in person than it is on TV. You can get a real sense of, like, especially, like, man, I felt like I was sitting, like, 10 feet away from him at times. And, like, the dude is the real deal. I'm convinced that he is going to be absolutely mental. He'll be an NBA star. Like, he's going to have a good career. And then, like, couple that with the fact that you got Zion Williamson.
That's
and
just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be some good NCAA basketball watching, that's for sure.
Like, I mean, Zion's going to be left unguarded.
Oh, he'll be like, getting five dunks a game.
As a pure scorer, he is far behind RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish in the ability to score in the half court. Like, he is far behind them. Like, he's going to be unguarded,
and he's just
going to be ripping rims off.
Yeah, he's going to take that, like, your fourth best defender on the other team. Oh, I'll just take you to the rack and dunk on you every single time.
Yeah, I don't know how in depth you followed Blake Griffin's career at Oklahoma, but he was stupid. Like, he was glitchy, and he just kept ripping rims off and
I watched a lot of those highlights.
I know.
Was dunking on everybody.
And the most famous one is he's jumped so high, he clips his eyebrow on the side of the backboard. Remember that one? It's going to be similar to that, except maybe to even a further extreme.
It's going to be LSU Shaq.
It's going to get stupid down there in Duke, man. I'm actually, like, I'm a diehard Kentucky fan, but I'm excited to watch that thing
It's just too bad they weren't at a less lame school.
I know.
If they could have been anywhere other than Duke, those three guys, it would be way better.
It was proven that none of those lacrosse kids raped that girl, and that was completely made up, and it just didn't make the news once it was proven because they wanted them to be guilty.
You know, I would talk shit, but that's the same way I feel about Kobe, so I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you.
Hashtag Dear Lacrosse.
Dear
Hashtag
LAX.
Dear Rich White Kids.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. He's a swimmer.
Guys, sometimes.
Yeah, no.
Do you think the Good News Radio is still
going
to want us after
going
that?
Going to hell with gasoline drawers.
Well.
Oh, yeah, and quick shout-out to my boy, Bull Bull, going to Oregon.
Oh, Bull Bull.
That's actually something we might want to go do, is we should
go check out
a watch
game.
Bull Bull.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Dude, do they play Duke ever?
Ooh.
Like an exhibition game against Duke or something like that?
Yeah, I can check that out right now.
That would be hype.
We definitely got to jump in the station wagon, head down to Oregon, and go check out Bull
Bull. Dude, I love that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Have you seen what Bull Bull, like, is?
Yeah.
I don't know what
he
it is.
He looks like a video game character.
He is scary, man. Like, he is scary.
Last time they played each other was March 24th, 2016. So
there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Okay, they're overdue.
That'd be
to
cool.
Swing around the block again.
They are. Shall we move forward?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well,
certainly.
You know what that means. It's time for This Was Locker Room Talk.
Was said this was Locker Room Talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people.
Well, this debate has been floating around in the media circles for the last couple of years, maybe even longer. And that statement is, should the NBA update their logo from Jerry West to an NBA star that is more relatable to the current NBA fan? That being said, Lee, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I'm not going out of my way to tell everyone I talk to that the NBA needs to change their logo. The logo is iconic. It is what it is. But if we were to change the logo, as far as I'm concerned, and as much as we've hated on our podcast, but if they're going to change it, it has to be LeBron James as the new logo. Give me the silhouette of him doing that, like, one-handed cock
back dunk. What about our
dunk.
Silhouette?
Yeah, we already made it.
Well.
Crying.
Yeah. No, I know. And which
foul, ref.
I love our logo.
It
but
is way more recognizable.
It is. But I could see it being that LeBron James one-handed cock back dunk ball behind his head. That to me, is the only thing that would make sense because, I mean, LeBron's been the headliner for the league for, since whenever Kobe sort of fell off, like at least five years.
8 years.
8 years. And he's going to continue to be for another 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And he, as far as the NBA is concerned, the guy's making the decisions at the top. He's representing them the right way. He's not getting arrested. He's doing good work in his community. He's perennial league leader, and he's a perennial all-star. He's the face of the NBA right now, and if they are to change the logo, I think it's got to be him, and it's the only real thing that's fitting. If not LeBron, I think they keep it with Jerry West. They keep it classic and just ride that forever.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with you that I don't advocate for them to change it that much. Jerry West is pretty dated. Not a lot of people our age know even who he is, what team he played for, what he stood for, how his game was, or any of those things.
That's the root of the problem in our generation. They don't know Jerry West.
But if the logo was to change, I would want it to be Michael Jordan. I think that this is the obvious choice, and that's because he is relatable to both NBA fans who are old, who are our age, who are young. Everybody knows Michael. He still sells more shoes than LeBron, 5-1. He hasn't played in 15 years. He's the most recognizable NBA star, I think, still to the young and old. The only real question about MJ becoming the logo would be, do we put him as the tongue-waggling power dunker of the 80s or the leg-out, kick-out, fall away, fade away jumper in your face to win an NBA championship of the 90s. The only reason I don't think that the NBA would ever choose him is for the reasons exactly why you said they would choose LeBron. And that's because he gambled, he smoked cigars, he liked to drink, and loves golf.
He's too much of a badass.
He's too much of a badass, but that's what every NBA fan loves. We love that hip-hop culture. We like a little bit of badass.
But is that what Adam Silverfish wants?
Absolutely not. But is Adam Silver in touch with the actual NBA fan? No. No, he's not. So that's my opinion.
Though,
Ryan.
Here's the other, before you give it to Ryan,
I'll quickly
say the other problem with MJ being the logo is the number one pose that would be the logo has already been taken by Jordan Brand. And it's the free throw line dunk stretched out. Like, that's the MJ pose, and that's taken by Jordan Brand. So they have to come up with another silhouette pose for the logo.
It's going to be a second best. It's the fadeaway.
It'd be the Jordan with the hand tucked to the side with his leg straight doing the flush over the shoulder.
Oh, that bad boy?
Everybody.
Where he claps the forearm?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there'd be a handful of them. Definitely an advocate if I, do have to engage this topic with Michael Jordan being it. I understand the NBA. I don't even, is it anything the NBA's ever made public that it's even something that's sort of up for debate?
Oh, no, it's
100% media
stipulation. It's strictly just a media, social media.
Okay, nonetheless,
something to talk about. I'm Colin Coward. I need likes.
Yeah.
I need follows.
Nonetheless, there's definitely merit in saying that a player that today's fan can relate to, know who they are. I mean, I assume that most fans nowadays just assume it's like a generic silhouette.
Yeah, they don't even think it's a player.
Yeah,
like
somebody
that's
graphic
the design picture.
That.
Right,
yeah.
Like custom player 3 is like what's selected as the logo. With that being said, to see another logo would just be so bizarre, and it actually wouldn't feel like the NBA. And if my reasoning is truly nothing past just being a sucker for tradition, I've got to go that route. Jerry West as a player is, immensely deserving of the honor. He's now on the more underrated scale at this point, if anything else. But so much, the entire league's existence, or at least its relevance since the ABA merger, has happened under that NBA logo. That NBA logo is recognizable. It's worldwide. To change it now, I almost would feel like it's like cheap in comparison. If that makes any sense.
Imagine how pissed you would be if they changed the logo to LeBron.
I would want to change our logo, to be completely honest.
You know how you see the D-League logo, right? Or G-League now?
Well, what? I got to look it up because I don't even know what it is.
I don't even know what. I think it honestly might just be the Gatorade symbol at this point.
It basically is.
Because I'm pretty sure Gatorade bought the entire league. But the D-League had its own symbol. It wasn't the NBA. It had the same color.
Oh, it's just like it's some guy dunking.
Like I don't even know if it's a real player.
It's no one who I can recognize. It looks like a very android, completely bald, stereotypical,
non-natural shape.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And it looks horrible.
It's not a good logo.
It looks cheap.
Ours is better.
And my point there is that it would look second tier. It would look lesser. It would look almost like a mistake, in my opinion. And it would be a mistake. But if I have to entertain and engage this topic, I do want it adamantly clear. Let's stick with the logo as Jerry. But I agree, it's got to be Michael.
But is it Michael Fadeaway? Is that...
But... You've heard me scream and yell and go on and on and on and on and on.
My favorite thing about you.
About how the NBA does not want Michael Jordan as their poster boy.
Yeah.
They want it to be LeBron James.
For those of you who don't know, we do have a Michael Jordan episode coming up one day in the near future.
We have a full.
And it's going to be epic.
We have a full Michael Jordan episode coming up. And I finally, will actually go into my NBA doesn't want Michael Jordan as the poster boy.
There's a lot more detail.
It's going
to
be a rant.
You have not heard
that I've been threatening to go into for the last year or so.
We've heard bits and pieces,
but
we've never heard the whole thing all at once.
Yeah, and we've even briefly covered it now. LeBron James is exceptional from a PR standpoint. Exceptional.
He's a
there's
like the LeBron James school for kids who can't read good and want to learn to do other things good too.
Yeah,
exactly.
How do you beat that?
Did you hear that he's actually paid Don Lemon to follow him around on his tour to make him appear smart?
According to Donald Trump.
According to Donald Trump. But just he's clean, he's pristine, and it's not just the NBA. Like, he's the most well represented athlete on the planet.
Well, it's like he's literally in the public eye. He's never done anything wrong.
Like, I'm relatively
the most
sure
wrong
he
thing he did was leave Cleveland to go to Miami. That was the worst thing in the public's opinion that he's ever done.
Completely basketball,
which
related.
Was a free agency move. That's it. Like,
and
that's his bad thing.
I mean, it's really been lost and forgotten with time, just the amount of heat that was around Michael Jordan in his peak after that third title, and his dad was murdered. He's in deep with the mob, with gambling debts. He's not going to the White House because he's having $1 million golf wagers with a convicted drug dealer, writing him $500,000 checks, 6, 7, 8 wives, like, on and on and on.
More than
and
a
on.
Handful.
And well, this is why we love him so much.
And again, you, like,
for those of you at home, Ryan just put his hand on his chest over his heart.
And that's the
6, 7, 8 wives, he said with admiration.
But, yeah, I mean, if we're engaging the idea of another logo, you have to take the man that did the most for it. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson saved the NBA, but Michael Jordan took it to heights that they never thought imaginable. No player had a more dominant career. No player had a more meaningful career, and no player had a more exciting, sexy, intriguing.
The NBA would not be
career.
The valuable business it is today without Michael Jordan, as the same as the PGA would not be what it is today without Tiger Woods.
Absolutely.
And Tiger Woods just proved this on Sunday. Viewership was up 83% over the 10 previous years it had been since the last time he was in contention for a major.
Yeah.
And it's that
remarkable.
Guy. It's that guy. It's the same as Michael Jordan was that guy. And that's why if they ever change the logo, it's got to be Michael.
But the thing that you may run into is they're changing the logo, but they're not changing it for a current player. That is where people may get a little confused, where it's like, okay, so we're changing the play. Obviously, Michael Jordan's in a different universe from a popularity standpoint than Jerry West. Like, it's not even comparable. But to change the logo and to not do it for an active player or a guy who literally just retired, that's where there may be confusion amongst a lot of people where they're going, then was it even necessary?
Well, see, that's the thing that I actually disagree with. I think that it should be a guy who has been retired for a while and still stands the test of time and is still constantly in your face in the media. And
that's
is
what
still
LeBron's
the subject.
Gonna, you're describing LeBron.
But he's still active.
Well, that's the thing. This change might not happen
wake
for
up.
Another five,
he could
six
wake
years.
Up in 2 years and his wife's dead in his bed and nobody's got an explanation. Then you got to change the logo again.
Well, yeah,
that's
Chris
that's
Benoit's
an interesting
entrance
take.
Music's playing. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Wow.
Wow. That's probably a good spot to end the show.
Put him in the sharpshooter.
Yeah. It's the Crippler Crush. Yeah, cut me off.
I love it. Well, thanks for listening. And as always, I'm here with Money Good and Wood.
Yes, sir. It is always a pleasure and never a chore.
And Ryan, the temperature's dropped, so I don't look so uncomfortable in my sweater. Brady.
Oh, my balls still are very sweaty, though.
Moist as fuck. And Ivy, thanks for staying awake for like 14 minutes. Really appreciate it.
That's a sleepy bulldog.
Oh, there she is.
Hey. Say goodbye.
She still hasn't said anything.
Fuck y'all, motherfuckers.
Yeah, the NBA's not going to change their logo.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
They better not.
Not like they'll honestly, change the logo if somehow like baseball starts gaining in popularity again and like the NBA is falling off and they get panicked.
Baseball
then maybe
still has more
viewers
per year than the NBA by a landslide.
That's fucked.
It is fucked. It's America's pastime. I felt shitty about myself when we were talking about the logo and I was like, fuck, who's the MLB logo? So I went and Googled it. It's no one. They just drew it up. Made me feel a lot better.
That's kind of what the NBA one looks like. It's just like they drew it up.
Well, when I searched it when we were talking there, it actually said that this is a caricature of a player that is assumed to be Jerry West. So it might not actually even be Jerry West.
I've seen the picture of Jerry West in the exact pose, and it looks exactly like
Also, I searched the G League logo, who it is, and they said it's a Frankenstein of current active NBA players. So we were accurate when it looks like some nerd designed it in a graphic design studio.
Yeah, it looked like a Kobe dunk that was butchered by trying to make it
made
look like
boxy
not Kobe.
And graphic and cool. Yeah.
Fuck the G League.
Fucking G League. Gatorade, fuck you.